Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bambasu daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We are holding on daf Kuf Yud Amid Beis at the two dots, two lines from the end of the page. V'ha'ish es imo. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and the Nishmas, his mother, Gold Basimcha, Allah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, and also by an appreciative daf listener for the accessibility of the shir, as well as by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in loving memory of Hindul Bas Eliakim HaKohen, Zichrono Levracha, and also by Jerry Schiff and family in memory of their father, Dr. Seymour Schiff, Sholem Yechiel Ben Yaakov of Halevi on his fifth yard site, the 11th of Tishrei, which I guess was yesterday. But so the Neshama Shav Naliyah, we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. We're first going to talk about a son and a daughter in the Yerusha of the mother. Do the son and the daughter have the same dinim in the Yerusha of the mother that they would have in the Yerusha of the father? Or maybe no. Maybe a daughter gets better treatment when it comes to Yerusha of a mother than she would when it comes to the Yerusha of a father. So that's going to be a machlokas, and the Gemara is going to discuss whether we paskin like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzov, who says that mechudesh tikashita, that a daughter gets a different gets a better treatment in the Yerusha of the mother than she does in the Yerusha of the father. Then the Gemara is going to discuss when it comes to Yerusha of a mother, does a bechar get pishnayim? We know a bechar gets pishnayim in Yerusha sa'av. What about Yerusha sa'aim? And then the Gemara is going to discuss how I know v'ha'ish es ishto, that a man inherits his wife. And we're going to have some follow-up discussion about that issue of a man inheriting his wife. So let's begin again. We are two lines from the bottom of the page on daf kuf yud amud beis. V'ish es imo. So it says, where do we learn this from, that a son yarshins his mother and that he comes before a daughter, even in Yerusha Sa'im, that not only does he come before a daughter in Yerusha Sa'av, but that a son is going to receive the Yerusha and not the daughter when it comes to Yerusha Sa'im. The pasuk says, ish ki yamus uvenein lo v'avartim es nachlaso lebito. So from there we learn that that there's a concept of Yerusha Sa'bein, and that Yerusha Sa'ben is kodem Liyerusha Sabas. But how do I know that the same is true when the mother dies as well? So this din that the son is kodem to a daughter, the Gemara's medayik from Lashon the Mishnah, because it doesn't say ish v'isha es imam. So we're saying it says v'ish es imo. So apparently it's true that a son has preferential treatment over a daughter, even when it comes to Yerusha Sa'im, because look at the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says v'ish es imo. It doesn't say that a son and a daughter yarshin the mother. The Rivam is quoted in Tosos in Dibra Maschal Ish that the Gemara is looking for a source for Yerusha of a son to a mother, Yerusha of a son from the mother's estate, and not for all Yerusha of women like his daughter or his sister, because there's no tzad to say that he wouldn't yarshin them, or that he would that they'll yarshin like males, because Nichsei Nashim obviously aren't going to be Hefker, but Lagabi Yerusha's Ben, there's a tzad to say that he's not going to yarshin the mother, because then you're being Mavir Nachla, meaning when a mother dies, so she had whatever Nechasim belonged to her father's Shevet, but if that's going to go to her son, then it's going to be Mavir Nachla to the son's Shevet. So there's a Havamina not to do that, whereas there's no Havamina whatsoever when it comes to yarshining one's own daughter, that the father's not going to yarshin the daughter the same way the father yarshins the son. What would you expect to happen to the daughter's estate if she doesn't have any children, and you know, it was just going to become hefker? So obviously you'll follow the regular rules of Yerusha that we have by a male. So we're not asking about males in general. We're asking about males and females in general. We're asking about this specific female, about specifically a mother, where there's a hava amina that it shouldn't work at all because it might be mavir nachla from one shevet to another. So that's why we're specifically focused on the mother. So minan emili, how do I know this, that a son yarshins a mother and that a son's Yerusha of the mother is more powerful than a daughter's ability to Yarshin the mother, just like a son's Yerusha of a father is more powerful than a daughter's ability to Yarshin the father. The Tanur Rabbanan, because we have a Brisa that says as follows, the Torah teaches us, V'kol bas Yoreshes Nachla mi matos b'nei Yisrael. So it says matos in Loshon Rab, not mi mateh. So it sounds like a bas is Yoresh from two different Shvatim. So heich bas Yoreshes Shnei Matos. How is it that the daughter is going to Yarshin two matos, ela zosha avia mishevet echad, v'ima mishevet acher? It must be we're talking about a case where her father is from one shevet, her mother is from a different shevet, umesu, and they both die, v'yarashtan, and she yarshins both of them, so that we therefore see that she has the ability or the potential to yarshin nechasim from two different shvatim. The Rashbam points out that, wait a second, how did that happen? That her father is from one shevet and her mother is from another shevet? Generally, isn't the Torah makbid that a girl shouldn't marry someone from a different shevet so as dafka for this reason not to be mavir nachla from her father's shevet when she yarshins to the shevet baila when he yarshins her, meaning if she dies and the husband yarshins her, he's going to take the yerusha that she had from her father's shevet, and now the husband from a different shevet is going to take that yerusha. So the Rashbam says, yeah, generally we're makbid about that, but over here we're talking about where the mother, when the mother married got married the father, she had brothers that were in line to yarshin her own father, and therefore there's nothing wrong with her getting married because she wasn't going to stand to yarshin her father anyway. The whole reason we don't want her to marry someone from a different shevet is because we're afraid that she's going to take the yerusha she gets from her father and it's going to pass along to her husband or to her sons, and that's going to go to a different shevet. But if at the time they got married she had plenty of brothers, so there was no thought at the time that she was going to get her father's yerusha. Her brothers were going to get the father's yerusha, so she married someone from a different shevet, and then after she got married all of her brothers dropped dead, and now she's the one that yarshined the father. So now she and her husband both die, and they don't have any sons. They have this daughter, so the daughter yarshins both her own father, meaning the husband, and her mother, which is this lady. So she gets a yerusha. This daughter gets a yerusha from two different shvatim. So ve'einli alabas, I would only know that a daughter yarshins nichsei ha'em, meaning from this pasuk of matos that describes the ability of someone to yarshin from two different shvatim. I see that a daughter can yarshin from her mother, but how do I know that a son also yarshins from a mother? The Rashbam explains the havamina is that maybe when we should say that a ben yarshins a father and a daughter, a bas, yarshins a mother, that it all works based on it gets funneled down the generations through the same gender. That father goes to the son, Yerusha, the father goes to the son, Yerusha of a mother goes to the daughter. Maybe that should be the halacha. So Amrit Kal V'Chomer. So we said, no, we learned it from a Kal V'Chomer, from a Bas. Uma Bas Shehura Kocha Bin Nechsei Av. If a daughter who has the lower hand, she has the disadvantage when it comes to the Nechasim of her father, meaning her brothers get the Yerusha if she has any, and she doesn't get the Yerusha if she has brothers. And nevertheless, Yava Kocha Bin Nechsei Aim, we know she yarshins the mother. So Ben She Yava Kocha Bin Nechsei Av. So a son, who we know comes before a daughter in Yerusha of the father, Eino, didn't she have a kocha b'nechsei ha'em? Should for sure have the upper hand when it comes to nechsei ha'em. Omimakum shabasa, and based on where we're learning Yerusha saben b'nechsei ha'em, meaning where we're learning it from, which is Yerusha saben b'nechsei ha'av, is the basis for Yerusha saben b'nechsei ha'em, meaning the Torah doesn't say that a son yarshins a mother. I only know from a kavul chomer of his kochos to yarshin his father. So if the whole kavul chomer hinges on the son's ability to yarshin his father, well, malalan ben kodum labas, afkan ben kodum labas. So we'll apply the same dinim of Yerusha of a father to the Yerusha of a mother. That's just like by Yerusha of a father, Ben Kodim Labas, Yerusha of a mother also is going to be Ben Kodim Labas. So that is the source for a mother passing on the Yerusha to her children, and the way it works is the same way it works when a father passes on Yerusha to his children. So the Gemara says, but the Braisa quotes a shita that's cholek. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Amru Mishum, Rabbi Zachariah ben Akatzav, that a number of Tanaim quote the shita of Rabbi Zachariah ben Akatzav, who says, no, that although it's true when it comes to a Yerusha of a father, the ben is kodem labas, and if there are sons, then the daughters don't get anything. But when it comes to the nechasim of a mother, both the son and the daughter are shavin b'nichsei ha'em. The son does not come before the daughter. They yarshin all the same. They yarshin together. The Tosas HaRosh writes, is quoting Shitim Gvetzas, is saying that it could be that that since the son is not yorish b'nichsei ha'em based on any pasuk, it's only based on the kal v'chomer, and it's a kal v'chomer from the daughter, that since the daughter is yafakocha b'nichsei ha'em, so kal v'chomer, the son who is should also be yafaka. So it's not only that he's not kodem la, that he doesn't come before the daughter, but she's kodem aslo. And therefore, when the mother dies and there's no father, the daughter will yarshin. And it's only when there's no daughter that the son is going to yarshin. And that's what he explains the Gemara. The Gemara is going to say dayel abamin adin lios kanidon, that since the entire din of Yerusha ben is learned from the drasha from a daughter, she should be no different b'nichsei ima than he is b'nichsei aviyam. That just like the ben is kodem labas, so Tos Rosh thinks that the havamin over here is not that they should be the same, but that they that she should be the same in the mother's nechasim as he is in the father's nechasim, which means they're not the same at all. It means that that she is the only yoresh, the sole yoresh when it comes to the mother's nechasim. Pashtos is it means to say they should be the same. That it would be like having two sons or two daughters. So my time, and what's the reason to say that when it comes to Yerusha Se'em, the son does not get the upper hand? Because whenever we learn a Kal V'Chomer, there's always a limitation on the Kal V'Chomer, that the din you're learning out from the Kal V'Chomer can't be any more powerful or go any further than the din you're learning from. And therefore, when we're learning one din from another, we can't put on the Lamad more than the Melamed. So, because it's coming from the Melamed. So therefore, the son should be equal to the daughter, b'nichsei ha'em, and should not take precedence over the daughter. The Tanakama who said that the son does take precedence over the daughter, what happened to Dayo? Lo darish Dayo. He doesn't hold of the concept of Dayo. He's willing to learn a Kal V'Chomer and just apply the Kal V'Chomer all the way. Take it to its logical conclusion without any limitations. Says Gemara, v'dayo d'oraisehu. No, the concept of Dayo, the limitation of Dayo on the Kal V'Chomer is a concept midoraisa. Tanakama doesn't get the opportunity to say, oh, I don't hold of Dayo. You have to hold of Dayo. This is part of the Torah Shebaal Peh of how Kal V'Chomers work, that's a limitation on the Kal V'Chomer. How do I know Dayo is d'oraisa? D'itanya. The Braisa darshans from Psukim in the Torah, that when it comes to the Sholosh Yisrael, Shaton, Jeshvan, Kal V'Chomer, Gzeir Shavah, Binyanav, etc., Midin Kal V'Chomer Ketzad. The Braisa says, how do I know that the Torah can be darshaned based on the Kal V'Chomer? Because when Miriam got Tzara'as, and Moshe Rabbeinu was being Mevakesh Rachmim Aleha, he was davening for her in her Tzara'as, it says, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, there's a reason why she has this Tzara'as, because Vavio Yarok Yarak Befanel Haloti Kalim Shivas Yamim. If she did something to upset her father, she would be banished for 7 days. So now that she was mekabel nazifa from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, from the Shechina itself, so she should have to live in embarrassment for some time. Now, if it would have been, if we would not have the limitation of Dayo, I would say, ooh, if you're going to suffer a certain amount for upsetting your father, how much more should you suffer for upsetting the Shechina? It should be even greater. And yet, we only find that she's Tisagar Shivas Yamin, that she's closed off for 7 days. She's banished from the camp for 7 days, not for more. Well, Kal V'chomer L'Shechina Arba'a Asar Yom. I would have imagined the Kal V'chomer for the Shechina would land her with 14 days in Hesker. Ela Dayo L'Bavin Adin L'Yos Kanidon. Why is it that it's only 7 days? Because of this principle of Dayo. So we learn the concept of Kal V'chomer and the limitation on the concept of Kal V'chomer from the Psukim by Moshe Rabbeinu davening for Miriam. Now, where do we get the idea? It sounds like a very random number, right? That if she upset her father, it would be 7 days. Oh, so for the Shechina, it must be 14 days. Is that like, so your father is this big and the Shechina is twice as big? They're not even, you can't even compare. They're not in the same category. What does that mean exactly? So Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosfos Dibra Maschil Kal based on Brisa that's quoted in Nida Daf Lamed Aleph. We already quoted Nida Daf Lamed Aleph a few times yesterday. The Brisa says that Shosha Shutvim Yesh Ba Adam Avivi Ima Vakarosh Baruch Hu appears in Kiddushin as well, that there are three partners in making a person: the mother, the father, and the Ribbono Shloma. And everyone gives a chelek, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a chelek keneged shneihem, meaning the father gives one chelek of the person, the mother contributes another chelek of the person, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a chelek keneged shneihem. So it's not about, you know, the persona, so to speak, of the father or the mother, and by comparison, the Shechina. That would be ridiculous. It's about how much I got from, how much each person got from the Shechina or from the parents. So the based on the Gemara Nida, you get the Shechina gives you as much a part of yourself as father and mother combined. And therefore, it tracks that if you upset your father, it's 7 days in Nezifa. So you upset the Shechina, it's going to be 14 days in Nezifa. Tosfos asks on Rabbeinu Tam that if that were the case, in order to know that she has to be embarrassed from the Shechina, you don't need to call the Chomer at all. Because just like her father has a chelik in her, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a chelik in her. And therefore Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, who says differently, that Kal V'chomer L'Shechina, that it should be more than Shivas Yamin. Meaning, we don't know, there's no way to measure Shechina versus parents, right? There's no way to measure that. But we know it's more, we know it's bigger. So if it's bigger, so the next logical number to go to is twice as much. So we just do it a multiple of the original. The Ramban writes that you don't need to come to that it's, we just always use such a lashon. It doesn't mean specifically it should be 14 days. It means it should be much bigger. So we use it. The Chazal often will speak in doubles, even though it's lav dafka double. He brings a raya, the mechilta by Neved Ivri, that's Ovid, even a ger, and it says that Yisrael is Ovid Sheishanim, as a ger yavod shteimesrei, eladayu labamadin lios kenidon, and therefore he's Ovid Sheish. Even for a ger, why there's such a havamina that it should be more for a ger? Okay, whatever it is, there is such a havamina, and the mechilta when it mentions that havamina that he's going to be oved as a ger for longer than he's oved, just jump to twice as much. That an eved ivri works for a Jew, he works for 6 years, he works for a ger, it's going to be for 12 years. That's the number that was chosen. But bottom line is, we do see that there is this concept of dayo. So how can you tell me that the Tanakhama rejects the concept of dayo entirely? That's Doraisa. That's where we learn Kal V'chomer from. We're together with Dayo. So says Mar Bialma, no, by normal dinim, Dorish Dayo. The Tanakhama, of course, agrees that you have the limitation of Dayo on a Kal V'chomer. V'shaini hacha, but by Yerusha of a mother, the Havamin is that he's not going to darshan Dayo, or he actually doesn't darshan Dayo. Da'amar Kra, because the Pasuk says that Abbas is Yeresh's Nachla, Mi Matos. So those Matos are explained in the Brisa. It's Mata Aven Mata Aim. So the fact that it says both of them together, it means that both the Mata Av and the Mata Aim together, Makish, Mata Aim, the Mata Av, it's another one of the Midrash Torah judgment. It's a Hekish, that we're making a Hekish between the father's Shevet and the mother's Shevet to learn one from the other. Ma Mata Av Bein Kodem Labas, af mata aim bein kodem labas, that if by mata ha'av we know what the rules are, that the son takes precedence over the daughter, so therefore when it comes to mata aim, also the son is going to take precedence over the daughter. So it sounds like, the Rashbam writes, the Gemara is not being chozer from the Kal V'chomer. It's just that once I learn from the Kal V'chomer that a son is going to yarshin his mother, we darshan from the Hekish that the rules of a son yarshining the mother are going to be the same as the rules of a son yarshining a father. And the rules of a daughter yarshining the mother are going to be the same as the rules of a daughter yarshining the father. That's how the Rashbam understands that we keep the Kal V'chomer, but the Hekish tells us not to apply the limitation of Dayo on the Kal V'chomer, and to apply the very same rules of Yerusha Sa'av to Yerusha Sa'im. Problem is, the Rashash asks that once I have the Hekish, you don't need the Kal V'chomer anymore. Meaning, once I have a Hekish, Mata Av to Mata Aim, so that's it. I that should be the very source that a son yarshins a mother. Because Mata Av and Mata Aim, and so it should teach me everything. Why do I need the Kal V'chomer anymore? So in the Sefer Kos Yeshua says, if I only were to learn from the Hekish without the Kal V'chomer, I would have thought that the Bas is Kodemus Leben B'nichsei Aim. Because from the Hekish of the Matos, I would say that just like by Mata Av, Ben Kodem Bas, so too by Mata Aim, where the Pasuk only talks about a Bas, I would think that the Bas is Kodemus Leben. Meaning when it comes to the father's estate, Torah only talks about the son. When it talks about the mother's estate, Torah only talks about the daughter. So the Hekish would have taught me that just like by the father's estate, the one that the Torah talks about Yarshining is the only Yoresh, so too by the mother's estate, the one that the Torah talks about is the only Yoresh. So that's why I need the Kal V'chomer to tell me, no, the Ben is also Yoresh, the mother. Oh, and therefore the Hekish must be teaching me that it's Ben Kodem Labas. So it's the combination of the Kal V'chomer and the Hekish that lands us with this concept. Now there is this idea that if one is Benazifa to the Shechina, that really it should have been 14 days of Nazifa, not 14 days of Hesker, and not just 7 days, serves as the basis for a famous action taken by Rabbeinu Gershon. In Hagos Hashri and Moed Katan, Paragimel, Simon Nuntes, he quotes from Rabbeinu Gershon that when Rabbeinu Gershon's son was Hamer Das, he converted to Christianity or converted out of the religion, so he sat Shiva for 14 days for him, because Kal V'chomer L'Shechina Yudalid Yom. Now, we reject the Kal V'chomer, so we say that it's a Dayel Abam Adin. So obviously, none of this is a halacha. It's just that he felt the problem. He was so saddened by his son being Hamer Das that he sat Shiva for 14 days. The Taz in Yerudeyan, Simon Shin Mem, when he quotes this, says Rabbeinu Gershom was Yoshev al Bnok Shehemir Kishemes. That his son, who is Hamer Das, when he died, the father sat Shiva, which is the exact opposite message of what it sounds like from Nagos HaShri. I mean, Nagos HaShri makes it sound like he was alive and he sat Shiva because he became a Mumar. And the Taz is saying, even though he was a Mumar, dad still sat Shiva for him, even though you normally don't sit Shiva for a Mumar. So it seems a little bit confusing. In the Tshuva Me'ava, which is the Talmud of Nadi B'Yudah, in Chel Gimel Simon Shin Mem, he says, I understand the Taz. He's completely changing what Nagos HaShri actually said. Nagos HaShri said he sat Shiva for him while he was alive because he was Hamer Das. And Nagos HaShri says, and the Taz says that he sat Shiva for him when he died. And he says, from the Lashon of the Darkei Moshe, who quotes in the name of the Mordechai, it sounds like it was after he died, that's where Rabbeinu Gershom sat for him. And in the Tuv Tam V'das, Rosh Shlomo Kluger is Mochiach, that Rabbeinu Gershom didn't do it after his son died, because the halacha is not that way. The halacha is you're not supposed to sit Shiva on the Meshumut, that if a person converted to Christianity and he dies, you don't sit Shiva for such a person. So it wouldn't make sense that Rabbeinu Gershom would go against that halacha. So in the Tshuva Shevet Sofer, he explains the Taz that they're talking about a father and a mother of that son. They have to be Mitzabel, or at least be Mitzar themselves when he dies, because they were Molid Ben Kazeh, meaning that they do sit Shiva when he dies, but it's a different Shiva. It's not Shiva over the loss of the child upon his death. It's Shiva over the loss of the fact that that child is lost to the Jewish people. So that's what the tone of the Shiva. So it could be that the Taz holds, yes, that Shiva happens after he dies, but that Shiva happens after he dies, not over his death, but over his loss to the Jewish people. So that's an old minig that no longer is done nowadays, but that was an old minig that people would sit Shiva. From there it went to whenever a child intermarries, that people would sit Shiva.
Yeah.
They did one. I don't know. I didn't see anywhere that said that he did too. Yeah. So okay. So now the Gemara brings a number of stories. Now that we know that there is this machlokas about Yerusha Se'em, we know that a son gets Yerusha, that a daughter for sure gets Yerusha Se'em, and a son also yarshins the mother. But how so? Is it that the daughter and the son have the same role in Yerusha, same as they do in Yerusha Sav? That was the opinion of the Tanakhama, and therefore Ben Kodim Lubas, or like Rabbi Zecharia Ben Akatzav, that the daughter gets the upper hand in Yerusha Se'em, or at least that they're even. So says the Gemara, there were a few mises where people tried to paskin like Rabbi Zecharia Ben Akatzav. Rabbi Nitai Savar Lemevruvduk Rabbi Zecharia Ben Akatzav. Rabbi Nitai wanted to paskin like Rabbi Zecharia Ben Akatzav. Amalei Shmuel, Kiman, Ki Zecharia? What are you doing? You paskin like Zecharia? Afei Zecharia! That it's batel, we don't listen to him, Allah is not like him. Another case, Rabbi Tavla Avruvduk Rabbi Zecharia Ben Akatzav, Rabbi Tavla actually did paskin a halacha l'maisa like Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav, and he therefore gave the daughter the upper hand b'nichsei aim, or at least treated them as equals. Samalei Rav Nachman Mai, Rav Nachman said, "What is going on over here? Why are you paskining that way?" Samalei Rabbi Tavla said, "Damar Rav Chinen Bar Shlamya Mishmei Derav Halach Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav, because I have a tradition that the halacha follows Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav." So Amalei Rav Nachman said to Rabbi Tavla, "Zil ahadarach, you better go back out on that psak, change that psak." And if you do not change that psak, I'm going to put you in chayrim, and Rabbi Chinin bar Shlamia is not going to help you anymore. I mean, I asked you what's going on over here, and you're telling me Rabbi Chinin bar Shlamia says you're supposed to pass in this way. Rabbi Chinin bar Shlamia is not going to be of any help to you after I'm through with you. I'm going to put you in chayrim, you're not allowed to paskin. I'm going to put you in nido, you're not allowed to paskin. Like Zechariah ben Akatzav. That's how the Rashbam explains. Meunech means a lashon of koach, like Rashi and Sanhedrin says similarly. Meunech is a lashon of koach that he's not going to give you koach anymore. The shita, the person that you're relying on, is not going to give you those kochos. The Aruch says that meonech is meosneich, from your ears, that you're saying like Rabbi Chanan ben Shlamia, I'm going to put you in chayrim until he's not going to listen to you anymore. No one's going to listen to you. Whereas Rabbi Gershom says that he said that if you don't back out from what you paskin like Rabbi Chanan ben Shlamia, I'm going to take the money from you in order to compensate the son who you just cost a lot of money. So meyuneich is a lashon of koach, like the Rashbam said, kochi voracious oni. It's a lashon of koach, but it's saying you're going to lose all your powers because I'm going to take all your money from you. Meaning you're giving too much yerusha to the daughter, not to the son. You're costing the son money. I'm going to make you compensate him for that. I'm going to make you pay him for that. So you better change the psak. So both times so far, where someone tried to paskin like Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav, didn't work out. First time Shmuel said, "Nah, we reject it before it ever came halacha l'maisa." And when Rabbi Tavla did it halacha l'maisa, he was told that he's going to be in big trouble. Another maisa, Rav Huna Bar Chiya savor l'mevaruvda. Rav Huna Bar Chiya wanted to do Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav. He wanted to paskin like Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav to give the daughter the upper hand in Yerusha Sa'im. Amalei Rav Nachman, my high. Rav Nachman says, "What is this? Why do you want to do this?" Amalei, Damar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Halach Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav. So Rav Huna Bar Chiya said, "It's because Rav Huna, Amar Rav said that we pass on Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav. Those are big people. Rav Huna, Amar Rav." So Amalei, Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna Bar Chiya, "Ashlachle, I'll send to Rav Huna that this is what you're saying in his name." Meaning, you sure Rav Huna is saying that we pass on Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav? You know, I have a direct line to Rav Huna, so I could ask him if this is in fact what he says. So Ichsif, so Rav Huna Bar Chiya was embarrassed, and therefore he says, "Oh, I admit, Allah is not like Rabbi Zecharia ben Akatzav. Please don't tell Rav Huna on me." So either it's that he really did think Rav Huna said this, and now that someone who's closer with Rav Huna said, "No, Rav Huna does not say this, and I'm willing to check with him," so he was no longer Boteach Bishmua, so the Rashbam says. He no longer trusted himself to know. Rabbeinu Gershom says that it was really his own shita. It wasn't Rav Huna. He was just being told of Rav Huna in order to be, that his shita would be miskabel, that he knew all along it wasn't Rav Huna's shita, and he was just called on it. So he knew all along. How can you say this? How can you pretend it was Rav Huna's shita? So there is such a concept. It comes up a couple of places in Shas, where a person thinks that they're right, and if you really believe that you're right, but you know no one's going to listen to you because you're just you, so you can say that Ramesh Feinstein said it. You could say that someone much bigger than you said it. Magen Avraham quotes this in Shulchan Aruch. I think Kufn Levav, Magen Avraham has a whole bunch of halachos that appear in the Gemara, but that don't appear in Shulchan Aruch. So I think this is on the list, that you're allowed to say something in the name of an Adam Gadol if you know that they're not going to accept it from you, but you're 100% convinced that it's right. But then you might be called out on it, and then you're going to have to back out. So that's what happened over here. He was called out on it. So I'm gonna, it would explain a lot, you know, if that's mutter, it explains a lot of the things that are said in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, in the name of Rav Shmei. So people are convinced that they're right. So they're told all their narishkeit on a nashim gedolim. So Amalei, from Nachman said Rav Huna Brachia, hashtag hinach nafshei Rav Huna, is risat lekabli. If Rav Huna would have died, and I wouldn't have been able to be invited this, if he actually said this, you never would have backed out. I would have been fighting you, and I wouldn't have been able to convince you otherwise. It's a good thing Rav Huna was still alive. V'iu k'man svara, and Rav Nachman, who does he hold like when he says that the halacha is not like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav? What made him so confident that we don't pass like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav? Ki yad Rav and Shmuel dami tarvayu ein halach Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav, because Rav and Shmuel both agree that we don't pass like Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav. So now says the Gemara another ma'isa. Mistamach va'azal Rabbi Yanai akasvad Rabbi Simlo yishamei. Rabbi Yanai, who was blind in his old age, was needed to lean on the shoulders of Rabbi Simlai, his shamish, in order to be able to get around, because he couldn't see. So Vasi Rabbi Yudah Nasiya La'apayu, Rabbi Yudah Nasiya, who was the grandson of Rabbi Yudah Anasi, came to greet them. So Amalei, Rabbi Simlai said to Rabbi Yanai, Bari Nishtas El Kabinla Hu Ya'i V'Galusa Ya'i. The person that's coming, that's about to greet us, he's a very chashva person, and he's wearing a very chashva beged. He's wearing like a beged of Rabbanus or something, a very nice talus. You should just know, meaning he wanted to inform him who he's going to speak to. The Ben Yoyada says this mitzvah, that this was before Rabbi Yehuda became the Nasi, because if he was already a Nasi, then Rabbi Simlai would have known that he was a very chashva person. Or it could just be he's telling him who it was, meaning of course he knew that Rabbi Yehuda was the Nasi, but he was blind, so he didn't know that who was coming. So it's always important to let the person know, this person that you're about to talk to is an Adam Chashuv. Why? He wasn't going to be nice if it wasn't an Adam Chashuv. Nice, yes, but how respectful are you going to be? You know, you're going to talk in third person. Are you going to, you know, you're going to be nice to everybody? My brother told me that he once introduced Rav Natan Greenblatt, Zichron Levracha, to Yibadal Chaim Tom, to Rav Asher Weiss. So Rav Natan Greenblatt was one of the biggest Talmid Chachamim in America, one of the biggest poskim in all of America. But he didn't look like it. He was a little guy with a little goatee and a gray hat with a feather in it. You know, he didn't look like the Gadol Ador that he was. So Rav Asher Weiss didn't know Rav Natan. So my brother introduced Rav Natan to Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss assumed a nice old man who's of course he's going to be nice to everybody, but not knowing who he was, he said Hashem should bless you. He assumed that he was being introduced to him because he wanted a bracha from Rav Asher Weiss. So Rav Asher gave him a bracha. So Rav Natan said Amen. Okay, so that's you would talk differently if you knew that you were talking to a Gadol Adar than you would if you're talking to. So he wanted to tell that this is Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. So Kimata Legabei, when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi came to them, Geshasha, so Rabbi Yanis felt his clothing, because he said, not only is he such a chashva person, he's wearing chashva clothing. So Amarle, he said to the Shamash, Din Shiri Kasak, this beged is very thick, has the same din as sackcloth in terms of being Makabal Tuma. So once they were talking, so Baimine, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi asked Rabbi Yanai, Minayin ben Shechad Mavas bin Nichsei Aim, how do I know that a son comes before a daughter in Nichsei Aim? So Rabbi Yanai said, because the pasuk says matos, so it says matos b'loshon rabim. So you see that someone receives a yerusha from both the mother's shevet and the father's shevet. So makish matayim lematav, and we have a hekish between the two of them. Ma matav ben kodem l'bas, just like in a father's estate, the son comes before the daughter. Af matayim ben kodem l'bas, so too in the mother's estate, son comes before the daughter. So Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says Rabbi Yanai, ima matav b'chor notol pishnayim af matayim b'chor. So would you say that the Bechor is Notel Pishnayim in mother's estate, just like in the father's estate? Amalei l'shamesh. So he said to his shamesh, good, less din tzavi l'melef. Get me out of here. This guy doesn't want to learn. He just wants to ask kashas to distract me. Meaning this is a nonsense kasha. V'taymimai, what's the reason that the Bechor does not take Pishnayim b'nechzei eim? Meaning he was saying it's a nonsense kasha because it's clearly not true. He does not get Pishnayim. But mechitesi, why not? So Amalei Abaye Amar Kra, because the pasuk says Bechol Asher Yimatzei Lo. So we darsh, that's when it says Pishnayim. It says Kiyas Bechor Losis Lo Pishnayim Bechol Asher Yimatzei Lo. So we darsh from the pasuk that Bechor gets Pishnayim only Lo Velo La, only for the father and not in the mother's estate. Ve'ima Hanimili. Maybe we should say that this din that the Torah is might eat the Bechor, that he doesn't get Pishnayim in the mother's estate, is Bechor Shenas Almanas, and a guy that didn't have any children that marries an almana who already had children from another marriage. So since their firstborn son is not Rashis Ona, it's not her Bechor, so he's not going to get Pishnayim in the Nachla. Aval Bechor Shanasa Basula, but when a young couple gets married, two people who were never married before, Hachinami Deshakil, maybe he should get Pishnayim in the Yerusha of the mother as well. So Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar Kra, Pasuk says, Rashis Ono, Ono, Velo Ona, that Pishnayim goes to Rashis Ono, but not Rashis Ona, so not her Bechor. So even if it's Rashis Ona, even if this child is the mom's firstborn, still he doesn't get Pishnayim in the mother's Chelek. So ask the Gemara, how can you learn this Drosha? Hahu mi Bayilei, we already used that to teach me Leba Achar Nefalim, for to tell me the din of a child that's born after the mom had some miscarriages, Delavi Bechor L'Nachla, that he's still going to get Pishnayim. You might think he's not called a Bechor anymore if he was not the mom's first pregnancy. So I use this pasuk to tell me, oh no, that it's dafka, that even if it's not the mom's first pregnancy, it's just the first surviving child. Misha libo dava alav yatzezeh shein libo dava alav. That oh no means the a child that actually survived, where one would be devastated upon their death, as opposed to miscarriages, which happen all the time, where it's not as devastating. Imkein, it's sad, but it's not as devastating. Imkein lemakra, if the pasuk is coming to tell me only the din of ba'achar nefal. So it could have written ki hu reishis own my ono shvamina tarti. It must be that you can learn two dinim: one, that a bechor does not get pishnayim in the mother's estate, and second, that someone who's ba'achar nefalim is still counts as a bechor as far as nachla is concerned. That if a child is born after a few nefels, he's still going to be a bechor. Va'akati emahani mili almon shanasa besula. But still, maybe this is only if he's a bechor of an almon who married a besula, where he doesn't yarshin the mother, even though he's Rashis Ona, because he's not Rashis Ono of the father. Aval Bachar Shanasa Besula, where he's the Bechor of both his mom and his dad, Hachinami Deshakil, maybe he should get Pishnayim in mom's estate. Ela Marava Amakra, Lo Mishpat HaBechorah, Mishpat HaBechorah Le'ish, Velo Mishpat HaBechorah Le'isha. That there's only Mishpat HaBechorah in a man's estate, there is no Mishpat HaBechorah in a woman's estate. So Bechor does not get Pishnayim in the mom's estate. So now the Mishnah said, Ve'isha Sishto, that a man yarshins his wife. Minan Emili, how do I know that din? Ditan Rabban, because the Brisa tells us, when the Pasuk describes the Seder Nachlos, it says, She'ero, so Zo Ishto. Melamit Shabal Yorisha Sishto. So I say, because it says, in Satam Snachlaso, L'She'ero. So I see from that Pasuk that a husband gets Yerusha from his wife. So Yachal Afhi Tirashenu, I might think, so she gets Yerusha from him. Tamalomar V'yarash Osa, Hu Yorish Osa, Veini Yorash Soso. No, the Pasuk says Yarash Osa, that extra word Osa tells me that it's a one-way street, that the husband will get the wife's Yerusha, but the wife does not get the husband's Yerusha. V'akrai Lav HaChiksivi. But the Pasukim don't say that. But meaning, even if the word she'ero is ishto, it says unasatem es nachla so li she'ero, that you give the nachla to she'ero, not that she'ero gives you the nachla. So how do we learn that a husband gets a nachla from his wife from that pasuk? Amar Abaye Tritzachi. You should tight up the pasuk as follows: unasatem es nachla so la karovei lav, and if she dies she'ero v'yarashosa, that you put the comma in a different place. Is unasatem es nachla so, period or comma, that you give the nachla and to who? To whoever you would think, meaning the krovim. And by the way, as far as she'ero, as far as his wife, v'yarashosa, he's going to yarshin the wife. So if you punctuate the pasuk in that way, then it works. Amar Rav Sakina Charifa Mafska Krai, you're allowed to do that. You could just punctuate psukim however you want. You could just put periods and commas in random places and therefore change the entire meaning of the pasuk. No. Here is the tradition of how to learn the pasuk. Unasatam this nachlas she'ero lo kasaver gorin masif and v'darshin. That even though it says lisha'ero, unasatam this nachlaso lisha'ero, we take the vav off of nachlaso, the lamed off of lisha'ero. We pretend it says the word lo, and therefore the pasuk gets ki'ilu. It says unasatam this nachlas she'ero. You give the nachla of she'ero of his wife. Lo, you give it to him. Vahaitana and Rabbi Shmuel, Maisi Lamehacha, darshins that a husband yarshins his wife from the following pasuk. Titania, the Brisa, teaches us, V'yarash osa amalamicha bal yarishas ishto div Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Omer, eino tzarech, I don't need that drasha, because I don't hold like the limud of Rava, that we're gorim and mosif and v'darshin. We darshin from a bunch of other psukim. Hareyu Omer, pasuk says, V'kol bas yarishas nachla, mi matos b'nei Yisrael, le'echad mi mishpacha, etc. So, the pasuk is talking about being maver the nachla of the shevet of the woman through the husband. So, how does that happen? The Torah is telling us that a woman should only marry someone from her father's shevet. Because if she can marry someone from the other from some other shevet, the nachla that she gets from her father is going to pass along to a different shevet. How's that ever going to happen unless the husband yarshins her? So obviously, it's assuming that the husband is going to yarshin. V'omer, and there's another pasuk. V'lotis of nachla b'nei Yisrael mimata al mata, that you shouldn't divert from one mata to another the nachla. V'omer, v'lotis of nachla mimata al mata acher, and another pasuk says the same thing. V'omer, v'elazer ben Aaron meis ve'yikbro so begivas pinchas v'chiminayin the pinchas shalo hayulo le'elazer. Where does pinchas get karka? Elazer didn't have any karka to yarshin from. El mlamich nasa pinchas isha meis of yarsha. Pinchas must have had karka from his wife. So again, you see, weiter that he yarshins a wife. V'omer uskuv holid as yair vehi lo esrim shol shorim beretz hagilan v'chiminayin li yair shloho l'skuv. Had yair get anything if his father didn't have anything? So malamich nasi yair isha umesav yarsha. He got married and he yarshins his wife. So now we're going to pick up tomorrow with what all the v'omers are about. Why do we need a million different psukim to tell me the very same din? Okay, everyone. Everyone have a great day.